seated. And Lucy's going to come and read for us a little section from the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. Quite unusual in that it speaks of us as Jesus' children whom he came to save. So the he here in these verses is Jesus. So the writer is talking about God the Son, Jesus if you like, becoming a human being so that he could share our experience and die to be our saviour. Thank you, Lucy.
Since the children have flesh and blood, we too share in their humanity, so that by the Son we may unite great the power of them, with all the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the will of death. For so he did not Abraham to be helped, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like death, being human in every way, in order that he might become the manifold faithful as he is in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So please be seated, and Helen's going to read for us the account of the presentation of Christ in the temple. And I'd like to turn to this in Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. It's on page 1028 in the Pew Bible. So Luke 2 verse 22, page 1028. There's a little bit of debate about whose purification Luke is talking about here, but it's obviously a reading about Jesus and his parents, Mary and Joseph. So Jesus is the hymn here at the beginning. Thank you, Helen.
When the time came of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. And thank you to you, Helen. You might like to keep that passage open in front of you, and we can have the first slide up, please. Now, do you know what a bucket list is? People know this phrase, a bucket list. Yeah, yeah. Striking idea, isn't it? Things you want to do before you kick the bucket. Things you want to do before you die. Or I guess we could think of things we're looking forward to, or things we particularly want to do, things we're waiting for maybe. Don't know whether anybody's got a bucket list, have they? Things you would really like to do if you had all the time and money in the world. Anybody? Yes? No, I had. Picking them off. Been to the opera and the ballet and all that sort of thing. Yes? These days, if you try and Google something, AI comes up with helpful suggestions. So we've been worrying about the price of the Costa del Sol, but AI has suggested that my bucket list should be Bali in Indonesia, which apparently has a tropical island and pristine beaches, or Machu Picchu in Peru, the Grand Canyon, the Eiffel Tower. You've done that one. It's not too hard for a European, really. The Maldives are apparently very lovely, or perhaps you should see Niagara Falls before you die. Or maybe it's activities rather than destinations. AI thinks perhaps I would like skydiving, scuba diving, bungee jumping, or a wildlife safari. Safari sounds the best bet for me. Anyway, I don't know what's on your bucket list. You can tell me over coffee. But Simeon, this guy in the temple in our reading, seems to have just one thing on his bucket list. Let's have the next slide up, please. Here's Simeon's bucket list. You can see it there in verse 26. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And you'll remember from last week what Christ means. You do know, don't be shy. Messiah, anointed one, okay? God's promised rescuer king. The great one they've been waiting for all that time. Maybe I'll ask you that next week as well. the Christ, the Messiah, that's what he's been waiting for. Or look at verse 29. When he's actually met Jesus, he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, my job is done. I can die happy. I've met baby Jesus. It's quite an unusual thing to say, isn't it? People sometimes are, you know, maybe they're having trouble having children. They're very much hoping for a child, waiting for a child perhaps, or sometimes people are very excited to meet their grandchildren, aren't they? Or maybe their great-grandchildren or their great-great-grandchildren. You know, perhaps there's somebody really, really old who perhaps seems to hang on to life until the birth of their great-great-grandchildren. But it's a bit weird that there's this man in the temple who meets this random child and says, well, brilliant, now I can die happy, now I'm at peace. Jesus is obviously a very special baby, isn't he? It's a strange reaction to a child. You know, normally when we meet a baby, they look a bit like Winston Churchill, but we have to say, oh, isn't he lovely, you know? Oh, look at his eyes. Oh, what amazing hair. Doesn't he look like his dad? Which, obviously, you couldn't actually say in this case. There are some amazing reactions to this baby in this passage. Let's have the next slide up. We've thought a little bit about Simeon's already, but just look about what he says about this Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one who gives peace. Then look at verse 30. So literally, Simeon has seen a baby. And yet he says to God, for my eyes have seen your salvation. What he actually sees is a baby. And he says he's seen God's salvation. Why? Well, because Jesus is the Saviour of the world, which you've prepared in the light of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the nations, to the non-Jews. So maybe a bit like a star. The light from the stars takes ages sometimes to get here, doesn't it? Well, it's as if the light of the Lord Jesus, which Simeon saw in the temple that day, still shines for us many, many years later, on this cold, damp northern island. Jesus is the light of the world. Simeon's reaction to him is amazing. Or just look at Anna in verse 38. She's really, really old, but she's very, very excited about Jesus. Coming up to Mary and Joseph, And Jesus at that very moment, verse 38, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She was just so excited. She couldn't keep quiet about Jesus. She thanked God. She wanted to share the good news with other people. Jesus was the one who would redeem Jerusalem, who would buy back God's people from their slavery, set them free. Or as it says earlier in the passage, he would bring comfort or consolation to Israel. Remember those verses made famous by the Messiah, Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people. Jesus is the one who ends our exile and brings us back to God. Amazing reactions to Jesus. But that's not all in this passage. I think Luke wants us to think about our reaction to Jesus. Did you notice verse 34? Simeon says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It's very striking, isn't it? What you make of Jesus reveals what's really in your heart. Jesus is this child we all have to reckon with. He determines our destiny. We can't be neutral about him or avoid him. Jesus said elsewhere, he didn't come to bring peace, in a sense, but division. Jesus is one who divides. What's our reaction going to be to him? It's as if in the pathway of all of us, there's this great rock, Jesus, this great boulder that we can't get around. And either we build our lives on him, or we're crushed by him. Will we fall down before Jesus and put our trust in him that he might raise us up? Or will Jesus cause us to fall? This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. I wonder what our reaction is to Jesus, our response. Have we reckoned with this amazingly special baby who's the Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour, the light of the world? Well, if Simeon was here today and chatting to us over coffee, I'm sure he'd be interested in our bucket list and all our plans of places we want to go and things we want to do. But I guess he would say, well, there's one really important thing to do before you die, is to meet Jesus as your Saviour, to reckon with him. Let's just be quiet for a moment and reflect on this passage, and then we'll pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the long-promised rescuer king, the light of the world, our Redeemer and Comforter. We pray that we might indeed meet him afresh as our Saviour and rejoice in him. May we be excited by Jesus and full of praise and thanks, longing to tell others about who he is and what he's come to do, for your great name's sake. Amen.